Here's something that, you know, sometimes you notice something, and then once you've noticed it, you can't think why you haven't noticed it before, and you notice it all the time. Well, here's something that I've noticed recently, particularly this last week when I stopped to think about it. Have you noticed that people don't tell jokes about marriage anymore? You know, people don't tell jokes. I mean, it seems to not be a very fashionable thing. You know, comedians usually have their stock of marriage jokes that they rely on when they're running out of other stuff. Well, they don't seem to do it anymore. And the interesting thing is that jokes about marriage have been around since the dawn of time. Like, here's one. Here's what Socrates said, okay? Socrates said, by all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll be happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. See what I mean? Here's a more recent one. Courtship is looking at the beautiful photos in a seed catalog. Marriage is what actually comes up in your garden. And this is just to redress the balance. Just think, if it weren't for marriage, men would go around through life thinking they had no faults at all. See what I mean? Where have all the marriage jokes gone? And, you know, there's a sort of concern in me about this, because people make jokes about things that are fashionable. And if jokes about marriage are no longer fashionable, then what's that saying about marriage? Today's the third in a series of services, Sunday services, when we're looking at contemporary themes, but we're trying to look at them from a godly perspective. And today's theme is what does it mean to be faithful? But we're focusing on marriage. And we're really asking the question, does marriage have a future? And today's in three parts. The first question, how is marriage doing? Second question, what does Jesus have to say on the subject? And the third question, does marriage have a future? And there's notes that will take you through on the back of the notice sheet if you want to use them. But the first question then, how is marriage doing? And the answer is not very well. Not very well. Not so long ago, it was more or less assumed that marriage was the ultimate way to affirm your love for someone. You know, in a loving relationship, how do you prove that love? Well, you get married. Marriage and love, you know, marriage was sort of the ultimate proof of love. But that's not so today. If you look at today's role models, the people who set the tone of what goes on in society, it might be politicians, it might be celebrities, or it might even be the people teaching our children. In their eyes, marriage is becoming more and more of an option when it comes to showing how much you love someone. Not so long ago, marriage was seen as the ideal setting for bringing up children. Not so today. Over half of the children that were born last year were born outside marriage. In other words, their mum and dad decided they want to have children, but there's no need to get married. Not so long ago, society tended to think marriage was a good thing. And you knew that because society supported marriage. It gave you favorable tax breaks and all those sorts of things that helped people, encourage people to get married. Not so today. There's no difference between a couple who are living together and a couple who are living together who happen to be married. And politicians make a big fuss every now and then, oh, we need to do something about this. But no one ever does. No one ever does. And not so long ago, it was assumed that marriage was between a man and a woman. But today, even the meaning of the word is being thrown into doubt. So how is marriage doing? Not very well. Not very well at all. And I believe firmly that this is important. This is an important question. It's an important issue. I believe firmly in 50 years' time, our children's children are going to look back on this generation and they're going to say, what on earth did you think you were doing with our futures, with all this stuff? I think it really matters. And I think we need to be guided by God about these questions. What does God believe is the right thing to do? Because he, you know, between you and me, I think he tends to know better than we do. So what guidance does God give us on the matter? Well, the clearest guidance he gives us is in the Bible, as Ruth was saying. Last Sunday, I spoke about how the best way to read the Bible is not to start at the beginning, strangely enough, and then read it through to the end. That is not the best way to read the Bible. Best way to read the Bible is to start in the middle and read it from the inside out, because it's in the middle that you encounter Jesus, and it's through the eyes of Jesus that the whole of the Bible begins to make complete sense. So paradoxic though it sounds, if you want to read the Bible, start with Jesus. So what does Jesus have to say about marriage? Well, actually, he has a fair bit to say. And some of his clearest teaching can be found in a conversation that's been recorded for us in Matthew chapter 19. And you can look it up if you like. It's on page number 986 on the Bibles in the pews. And it's the interesting thing is, it's actually a conversation. He didn't start it. It's a conversation where someone asked him what his views were on divorce. And he responds to that. But even so, from the way he responds, it's quite clear what he believes about marriage. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. So let's look at that passage. It's from Matthew chapter 19, and it's on page number 986, and it's the bit from the beginning of the chapter right through to the end of verse 12. So let's listen to what God's word's saying. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee, and he went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan, and large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees, these were religious leaders of the day, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," Jesus replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.' Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word or this calling, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way, others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept this." It's quite scary stuff, isn't it? All this that Jesus is saying. And yes, he is talking about divorce, but I think from what he says, we get a clear picture of what is in his mind when he's talking about marriage. For example, he quotes, "At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female." This is a quote from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, where it says, "God made us in his image, both male and female." So just because we're beginning with Jesus, it doesn't mean that we should disregard what the Old Testament says, because it mattered to Jesus. Here he's affirming this Old Testament truth, that marriage requires both a male and a female. Something he actually comes back to later on in what he says in verse 10. He's talking about singleness. He says there's nothing wrong at all with leading a single life, but it is much harder. Some people, he says, are called to be single. They feel that's what God wants them to be. And that's great, he says. That's wonderful. Other people, he say, can't marry because something has been done to them that makes it difficult for them to have sex. Oh, I've used that word. Never mind, we'll cope with it. And yet others, he says, are born that way so they can't have sex. clearly in his mind, we can deduce two things. One, that marriage involves male and female, and that marriage is the place for sex. So, and that's just from one line that he's quoted from the Old Testament. Then he goes on to say, for this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife. Here again, he's quoting the Old Testament. And he's affirming the fact that marriage and family life are closely linked. If we marry, we are leaving our old family behind and we are beginning a new family. That's what that line means. So marriage is not just about two individuals. Marriage is about something that's bigger than that. It's about something to do with our community. I conducted a wedding here on Wednesday afternoon. It was quite a hectic wedding because it was snowing and we weren't quite sure what was going to happen. And the bridesmaids were blue. Oh, you know, one of these sort of strapless dresses. Oh, I felt sorry for them. The bride, she just floated through the whole thing. You know, it was a wedding. It was fantastic. But as part of the wedding liturgy, we always begin by explaining what the Christian understanding of marriage is. And I always read out these words. A husband and wife are called to share in the life of a home and may be entrusted with the gift and the care of children. And so they help to shape a society in which human dignity and happiness can flourish and abound. In other words, we believe marriage is one of the basic building blocks of society. We believe it provides the stability that society needs. We believe it provides a stable relationship that children like Noah need to grow up in. And that is something that is actually confirmed by the evidence, the hard evidence. The evidence that there's no way around. Statistical evidence shows that couples who are not married, over 50% of them will have split up before their child reaches the age of 5. Over 50% of couples who have not married. That's just statistics. That's the reality. Marriage provides that stability, that security. And if you think it's not going to, you know, splitting up is not going to have an effect on children, ask someone who teaches in a primary school just now, and they'll tell you what effect it's having on the children. I mean, we can delude ourselves about this, but it's not going to go away. Marriage is the foundation for family life. Family life is a basic building block of society as God intended it to be. Without marriage, things start to unravel, and that's what's happening just now. So, that's just the second line of what Jesus quoted. The third line, in marriage, he says, the two become one flesh, so that they are no longer two but one. Again, it's a quote from the Old Testament. You know, and we live in a superficial age where life is all about the moment and where it'd be easy to see these words as being just about sex. But they're not just about sex. They're about something much, much deeper than that. The two will become one. Marriage is about two individuals becoming one entity. That's what happens in marriage. It's about being each individual being willing to give up their old selves so that they can become something bigger and better. That's what happens in marriage. So at the heart of marriage is this idea of a love that is a giving up type of love, a sacrificial love. It's a love that's captured in the marriage vows. You know those marriage vows? We all know them. A couple promise to love each other and to be faithful and loyal to each other, not just when it's not raining, you know? Not just on a good day, not just when they're in a good mood, not just when their finances are in order. They promise to love each other and be faithful and loyal to each other, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, to love and to cherish for as long as they both shall live. When a couple come to me asking if I'll conduct their wedding service, I ask them all sorts of things, but the most important thing, you know, it's my responsibility to make sure they're doing the right thing, The most important question I ask them is, so you want to get married? Yes. Okay, how do you feel about the idea of spending the rest of your lives together? Because that's really the critical question. You know, if there's any doubt there, then stop. Have some time out and really think about this. Because that's what you're committing yourself to. And, you know, what I look for is that sort of complete... I'm not trying to coach people here. What I'm looking for is that sense of they couldn't imagine not doing that. You know, I couldn't imagine living without that person for the rest of my life. That's what you're looking for, because that's the right reason to get married. I've completely lost my place now. What am I talking about? You know, there's lots of myths that people spread these days about marriage. Usually people who don't like marriage are the ones who are spreading them. And one is that there have never been all that many happy marriages in the past. It's just that people couldn't get divorced, so they just endured it and got on with it. But really, marriage has always been a miserable thing. You know, that's one of the myths that you sometimes hear people parading around on the radio and the TV. And it's true, there's an element of truth in it. There have always been unhappy marriages. And we need to accept that. And there are times when divorce is the only option. Even Jesus acknowledges that in what he says. Did you notice that? Even Jesus acknowledges that in what he says. But it's also true that even the happiest marriages take a huge amount of effort on both sides. Ask anyone who's been married, and they'll tell you yes. Marriage isn't just getting married. That's just the beginning. We were talking about this on Thursday night. That's just the beginning of marriage. Marriage takes hard work. Why is marriage under threat these days? Well, because I think we live in an increasingly individualistic and superficial and self-centered age. That's what we do. That's just the way it is. Staying married takes effort and self-sacrifice and commitment on both sides. And it's the sort of effort and self-sacrifice and commitment that people today seem less and less willing to make. But, you know, the rewards of marriage are extraordinary. And this is what makes marriage worth it. You experience true love. You experience lasting love. And not just romantic love. Nothing wrong with romantic love, by the way. Valentine's Day coming up. Better watch what I say. There's nothing wrong with that. But it tends to be based on your emotions. You know, oh, I feel romantic. Marriage is based on lasting love, heroic, self-giving love, trusting love, faithful love. And it's from that grows that amazing sense of companionship and that amazing sense of security and trust and lasting sense of joy, that sense of two really becoming one, which is extraordinary. There's nothing to compare with it. The final thing Jesus says, and this is important. He says, he says lots of other things, but the final thing I want to focus on, therefore what God has joined together, no one must separate. What God has joined together. You know, the sort of marriage I've been talking about where the two become one is something that only God can bring about. It's God's gift to us. It's not something we can manage on our own. I've said how even the happiest marriages take a lot of effort on both parts. Here's another quote about marriage. A good marriage is the union of two forgivers. Yeah? If you've been married, you know that. It's the union of two forgivers. But, oh, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to forgive. And certainly self-sacrifice, never easy. And compromise, whoa, depends what it's over. You know, all these things are quite hard to do. Happy marriage demands full use of what we call the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, these are things that God can give. I'll list them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what a happy marriage needs. Now, some of us may have some of those things in abundance, but none of us have got all of those things in abundance. And yet they're all needed for for a good marriage, for a happy marriage, for it to work, for the two to become one. So we all need God's help with this. Every single one of us. There's a verse in the Bible that's often quoted at weddings. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Not two strands, three strands. Not quickly broken. Without God's presence, it can be very hard work indeed. So does marriage have a future? Well, it depends on what you mean by marriage. If what we mean is a contract between two individuals who want the most out of their lives, who think marriage is all about romance, requiring no real effort, and who will only be satisfied if their marriage lives up to their own individual standards and expectations and hopes and dreams, if that's what we mean by marriage, I think we're always going to struggle. I think we're always going to struggle. But if we mean a commitment by two people to live for each other, whatever the future holds, then I think marriage does have a future. Because only in this sort of marriage is it really possible for a couple to grow together in love and find lasting joy and security and strength. And you know, people these days love to see that sort of marriage. You probably experienced, you know, when you hear of a celebrity, you know, someone like Clint Eastwood, who's had a strong marriage for years and then something happens. There's a collective sense of disappointment throughout the world. Well, people who know Clint Eastwood anyway. Oh, no. After so many. You know, we live in an age where people desperately hope that it is possible for people to stay committed to each other like that. And so if you're managing that, it's not just good for you and for your family. You're actually giving people hope that it's possible. That it is possible for children to have a future. That it is possible for society to be stable. You know, there's much more to marriage than just the happiness of the family involved in it. Good, strong marriages are giving everybody hope just now. But they are only possible if they're understood to be God's gift to us. And a gift is something very precious, and you've got to treasure it. So let's finish by just having a time of prayer, okay? Let's pray together. Because I think we all know someone. Maybe it's someone very close to us. Maybe it's someone, the children of a friend of ours, whatever. But we all know people whose marriage is struggling just now. Let's name them now in silence before God and ask for him to help. Father, we thank you for marriage. We thank you that marriage is your idea. And we thank you that it's a good idea. And we thank you that it's your gift to us. Please protect us from ever taking it for granted. And please show us ways in which we can support married couples and support their children. And please open our eyes to the needs of those who are hurt and bruised and broken because of a marriage gone wrong. This coming week, as we live our lives, help us to live them with our eyes wide open and to be Christ's strength and Christ's wisdom in the situations where it's needed. We ask this in his name. Amen. We can respond in the words of this next hymn. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest." Shall we stand?